Get your Bibles now, please, and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. We are continuing our discipleship lessons, and we are moving into what I'm considering level 2 of these discipleship lessons. Level 2. Every Christian ought to be a praying Christian. Without prayer, we cannot do this thing we call the Christian life. Prayer is essential. We need to get in the habit of praying. We need to learn to pray. And so what I want to do, take your Bible, you're in Matthew chapter 7, and verse number 7. Some of you may be familiar with this. It's actually a song, but ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom he will ask? Of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? It's a good question, isn't it? How much more? But we'll go back to verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So prayer. Prayer does seem to be, particularly for a new Christian, prayer does seem to be something that is kind of spooky in a lot of ways. There is, how do you pray? I mean, is there a magic way to do that? Because if you don't kneel just right, does that mean God's not going to listen to you? I mean, do you bow your head? Do you keep your eyes closed? Do you look up? What do you do to get God to notice you? I mean, what do you say when you pray? How many of you have gone to pray before and you said everything that came to your mind in the first minute and then you didn't know what else to do? Ever happened to anybody before? Yeah. And not many of you raised your hand, but a lot of you are nodding your heads. Yes. You need help with something, but then you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. And you're worried that you're not doing it right. And you're worried that God's not really listening to you. You're worried that somehow your prayers might be just be hitting the ceiling and bouncing around and going nowhere. And so it becomes a challenge as a new Christian or even as a veteran Christian. Somebody's been in the Christian life for a long time. To really get a handle on prayer. Someone once said that you can study prayer for a lifetime and still explore the nuances of it. And that might be true, because prayer is communication. Communication specifically with God. And the bedrock of every single relationship in the world, in your life, is built upon communication. Without good communication relationship, your relationships aren't going to be good. And without good communication with God, your relationship with God is not going to be good. You could be a child of God on your way to heaven and not have a good relationship with God. I've got 5 sons. It doesn't mean just because they're my son and I'm their father, that doesn't mean I have a good relationship with them. That is something that we have to work at. That is something that we have to have communication to do that. And prayer is how you commune with God. So let's look at some things here regarding prayer. So prayer is communion with God. It is access to God. I'm going to read a bunch of different verses for you, and these will be posted on the website, so you can go there to look up some of these verses later. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Bible says, For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, talking about Jesus. So as we pray, we have access unto by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with the Father. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 through 16 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Where is the throne of grace? The throne of grace is access to God. Let us therefore come boldly to God, to the feet of God, if you will, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That boldness comes through prayer because we are children of God. You know, my kids often are fairly bold in asking me for things. They're often more reluctant to have the same boldness with people they don't know that well. But they'll ask me because I'm their dad. And when you get, and you are the child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, you can come boldly to the throne of God and find help and obtain mercy and find help in your time of need. That's what prayer is. Prayer is you've been able to come to the throne of grace, come to God, and present your need. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, how do you do that? I mean, how do you pray without ever ceasing? You never get anything else done. Well, it means be in the state of prayer, always in the state of prayer. Just like with a spouse, you should always be in the state of being married, right? Even if you go to work, you're still a married man at work or a married woman at work, correct? You're always in the state of being married. You're being married without ceasing. That state of prayerfulness where things happen and your first instinct is to pray about it. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. It doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hear me now, I plead. It doesn't have to be like that for God to hear you. Amen. Because, you know, God may look at you the way you're looking at me if you start doing that. And he may scratching his head there a little. But that prayerful state should be something that we always are in. Amen? And so there should be that your instinct. Okay, you've got a job interview. You pray on the way there. You're driving to someplace or you get a bad phone call. Your instinct should be to go to prayer. You wake up in the morning and realize, hey, I'm still alive. Thank God for it. There should be that instinct that you could just pray about it. And that whatever it is, someone comes up to you and says, hey, pray for me. I've got this happen. Well, then stop right there and pray with them. And just say, okay, let's do it. Let's pray right now. Take them aside and pray right then. But that willingness to pray at a drop of a hat, so to speak. That prayerful attitude is what that means. Just like if you're married, you're always in the state of being married. And so you think like a married person, correct? Your thoughts, you have certain vows you got to keep as a married person. So your thinking has to be that of a married person. And so when you're a child of God, we want your thinking to be, I am a child of God. It means I can come to God at any time I want to, and he's going to hear me. We want you to have that same emotional state when it comes to prayer. Luke 18:1 says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you want guidance from the Lord, then just acknowledge him. Acknowledge his prayer. Again, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. It could be just a five-second prayer that as you walk out from place to place or between whatever, it doesn't have to be long for it to be a prayer. Yet God will hear you. God will hear you. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Does God hear prayers? Of course he does. Job 22:27 says this, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. He shall hear thee. Psalms 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Jeremiah 33:3. This is a popular verse. A lot of people make this their life verse, but the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God wants to hear your prayer, and he does hear your prayer. You know, oftentimes people say, but doesn't seem like my prayers always get answered. Now, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But first, before we get into that, let's talk about how we should pray. How do we pray? Well, the position doesn't really matter. You can kneel. Now, I will often kneel out of reverence, but that's an emotional feeling that I have. I'll also pray while I'm exercising on the elliptical. Not very reverent when you're doing that, right? And you're sweating, and then you're, you know, and but I'll pray when I'm on the elliptical. I'll praise God. I'll sing. I'll pray. I'll lift up your names to the Lord when I'm exercising or when I'm driving someplace. The position doesn't matter. When you talk to a person, you're in all sorts of different positions when you talk to someone, are you not? Sometimes you're standing, sometimes you're walking, sometimes you're sitting, sometimes you might be laying in bed on your phone. There's all sorts of different positions. The position doesn't matter. The heart matters. So take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. And he gives them a little model, if you will, of prayer. A lot of people call this the Lord's Prayer, but that's not quite accurate. Because this is not a prayer that Jesus prayed. This is something he gave as a model for the disciples to pray. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, I think John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. That I wrote it down. Yeah, John chapter 17 is truly the Lord's Prayer, where the whole chapter is Jesus praying. And you get to hear the whole thing that he prayed. So that's truly the Lord's Prayer. But this is a model prayer, if you will. This is an example of how do we pray. He says in verse number 5, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. Verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee what? Openly. The first thing about prayer that Jesus was trying to teach is that prayer is a very intimate thing with God. It's not something that you should be showy about. You know, you get up and you say, Pastor, I can't pray like you. I listen to you pray. Well, I'm praying in public. Of course, I'm going to try to sound good. I think I'm trying to embarrass myself in public. I'm not going to try to fumble over my words in public. Hey, man, I'm going to kind of make it sound pretty good. But though there is something called corporate prayer, where people do get together and pray together. I mean, that Peter found that out when he was in jail and the angel came and drove him out, and he thought about it, and there's a bunch of people gathered in the house praying for his deliverance. There is corporate prayer, and there's times when a church should get together and people should get together and pray together, but it's not about who can be the most showiest and flashy. I heard a story of a man who's a famous evangelist, a famous preacher, and he was together with a bunch of other pastors, and they were going to eat this meal together. And they asked there was a young man that was kind of new to everybody. They asked him to pray for the food. So man, this kid, he started waxing eloquent. He waxes eloquent. I wax elephant. That's how I do it. But he waxed elephant. He prayed for everything. He prayed for every missionary he could think of. He prayed for the country. He prayed and prayed. He prayed for everybody. He finally got done praying. And everybody looked up, and this old-time evangelist was three-quarters of the way through his meal. And they looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, He looked up and said, God knows I'm thankful. I didn't want the food to get cold. You know, there's a measure of truth to that. There's a measure of truth to that. Sometimes we try to make it way too much when it comes to prayer. Now we do. It's just you and God getting together, amen, and talking. Look at Matthew chapter, I read 5 and 6, right? Yeah. Now look at 6, 7, and 8. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Prayer doesn't have to be long to be prayer. Now, we like to make it long, amen? We like to make it complicated. And just saying, and just quoting the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over and over again, that's not prayer. That's just repetitious. Now, you can pray things. You can pray the Lord's Prayer if your heart's in it, or this model prayer. You can pray it if you're actually meaning it. You could take a psalm and you could pray that. Because if you don't know what to pray, you could do that. And if you put your heart into the words that you're quoting and actually praying them, that works. But it's not about how much you pray that gets God's attention. It's not. You say, Pastor, how long do you pray? I pray until I say what I need to say. I pray oftentimes until I feel like God and I have met. Sometimes that's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 30 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour. But that's between me and God. I don't feel obligated to pray for an hour. I just pray. Amen? Now look at verse number 9. So after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He says, this is how I want you to pray, he says. You start with, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he wants you to start out. When you start out in your prayer, it's good to show respect unto the God you're trying to get attention. I mean, don't call him the man upstairs. Don't say, hey, yo, papa, show a measure of sacredness and respect for God Almighty. It's also who you're acknowledging, who you're praying to, because there's all sorts of people in this world that pray. Not everybody's praying to the God of heaven. Some are praying to a saint. Some are praying to a little idol on their mantle. Some are praying to some spirit. So it's important to acknowledge who you're praying to. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so again, these elements, you don't have to pray exactly in this order. I recommend that in every prayer you pray, that there's some element of these in there. Amen. Some element of these. This is a model prayer. You don't have to pray this exactly this way. He's giving you illustrations here. And so now look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. So one of the things that we do when we pray is we need to yield our will to God. We want God's will to be done, not our own. I think that's important. Because sometimes when we come to pray, a lot of times we're trying to strong arm God into doing what we want him to do for us. We think we got to get God to do this. And if God doesn't do this at this time in this way, then nothing's going to go right, or everything's going to fall apart. And that's that desperation prayer. But even Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He said that just shortly before he went to the cross. He wanted to make sure that he was in line and with his thinking with God. So when you go to pray, be sure that you're willing to yield your will. Tell him what you want, but also say, but God, I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. This is what I think. This is how I understand it. But what I really want is I want you to do it your way. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Which a kingdom means he's the king over, correct? And if he's king over the king kind of has say what goes on in the kingdom, amen? So if you're trying to get his kingdom to come, you're trying to be part of the kingdom of God. And let him be king. Let God be God. So part of prayer, again, is yielding your will. And verse number 11, it is okay and acceptable to pray for your own needs. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Look, everybody here has needs. Everybody here has things that you need God to get involved in. Amen? It's okay to ask God for those things. It's okay to say, God, I think I really need this. I need your help in this area. The Bible even says that we cannot do anything except through Jesus Christ. We need to abide in him. He is the vine. We're the branches. We can't do anything unless we abide in him. So if that is the case, then bless God. Ask him for things. That's what the word prayer actually means. The word prayer means to ask. So ask. He encourages it. We read it in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, did we not? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It is so important that you learn to ask. And it's okay to ask. It's okay. God's not going to be mad. Now, sometimes the things we ask for, God is in his wisdom and love, is not going to give you. You say, God, I want $1 million. I think God knows that. I have a sermon that I preach on occasion. Eventually, I'll probably preach it here. It's called The Curse of God's Blessing. Sounds awkward, doesn't it? The Curse of God's Blessing. There's a story in the Old Testament about a king by the name of Hezekiah who was sick unto death. God told him, you're going to die. He started praying. He said, God, you know I've been a good king. And he was. He was a great king. And you know I've destroyed these altars. You know I've done all these things. Please heal me. And so God sent the prophet back to him and said, okay, I will heal you and give you 15 more years. Well, in that 15-year period, a boy was born by the name of Manasseh. And that boy became the next king of Judah. He was the most wicked and vile king they had ever had or will have. The Bible says he filled up Jerusalem from one side to the other with blood, sacrificed his own kids to these false gods. He was born 3 years into that 15-year grace period that God gave him. If Hezekiah would have died when God meant him to, that boy would have never been born. They would have never had a Manasseh who killed thousands upon thousands upon. He was the Hitler of their day, the Stalin of their day. So sometimes you got your blessing. He got his 15 years, and he didn't acknowledge God. When the Babylonian ambassadors came, he showed them Israel's gold and not Israel's God. And later on, many years later, when Babylon came back, they came after Israel's gold, not their God. So sometimes God knows that giving you what you want is the worst thing for you. But we'll get into that here in a little bit. But you can ask. Verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness, not only of your sins, but also the sins that have been done to you are a key for God to hear your prayers. Forgiveness is essential. Every time you sin, you break your communion with God. You break. When one of my kids disobeys me, our fellowship is broken. When they come to me and say, Dad, I'm sorry, I didn't. I apologize, I was wrong. That mends that fellowship. It restores the communication. Same thing. You don't ask God to forgive your sins so you go to heaven. If you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're going to heaven. You ask God to forgive your sins so that your communion with God can be restored, so that he will heed your prayers. Amen? Verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think it's appropriate to pray for spiritual protection for yourself and for others. Again, you don't have to pray. Every prayer doesn't have to include all of these elements. But prayer should include these elements. And as you go through the day, probably every one of these elements should appear in your prayers throughout the day. So it's okay to ask God for protection. Because Lord knows we need it. Ask God to build a hedge of protection around you. Ask God to deliver you from temptation. The devil's going to try to tempt you. Problem is that the devil can tempt you, but we're led away of our own lust. The Bible teaches us in James chapter 1, verse number 13 also says that we need to acknowledge that God is indeed the God of all and deserves all the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's an acknowledgement of every Christian that he is indeed God. When you go to the king to ask the king, or you go to the boss to ask the boss for something, it's probably a good idea to acknowledge the fact that he's the boss when you go to do that. Correct? Because after all, he is the boss. And so that's what we're talking about here. Some examples of prayer can be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. That's the prayer of Jabez, chapter 4 and verse number 10. Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 1, Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. The whole chapter is a prayer that Jesus prayed. Many of these elements are in, if not all, those elements are in that prayer. So here's the question. Why do some prayers seem not to be answered? Take your Bible, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse number 2. James chapter 4, verse number 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. I think one of the main reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers is because we don't really ask. Let's be honest. Sometimes we think that God won't answer our prayer before we pray, so we don't even bother asking. One of the reasons why God doesn't answer prayer is because we don't ask him. We just don't. You have not because ye ask not. So we need to learn to ask. God wants us to ask. So, but I don't know. I don't know if I should ask for this. Well, ask. What's the worst thing God's going to say is no. Amen? There's no harm in asking. Well, does it make me less? I mean, if I'm asking for something selfish, well, let's look at, well, sometimes when we ask selfishly, God is not going to answer that. Look at verse number 3 of the same chapter. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask what? Amiss. That ye may consume it upon your lust. How do we end every prayer? When we pray, how do you end every prayer? In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Correct? In Jesus' name, I pray. When you pray in the name of Jesus, literally what you're saying is, I'm praying on behalf of Jesus. That when you ask for things, you're thinking, this is what Jesus wants. But sometimes when we pray, it's not what Jesus wants, it's what you want. And so you really should end the prayer like this. Father, God in heaven, I would like to have $1 million. In Greg's name I pray, amen. Because really that's what you're doing. You're not praying in Jesus' name. You're not praying for on his behalf. You're praying on your behalf. Let me say this. Any prayer that you pray that's in line with the will of God already is going to get answered. And sometimes when you pray, though, God will just kind of shift you closer to him. God won't answer the prayer the way you want him to, or how you want him to, or when you want him to. But he'll answer the prayer, and that prayer, the answer is designed to shift you closer to his will. And when you get to the point where your will and his will line up, those prayers get answered. But when you're over here, God answers them, but not in the way you want, a manner in which you want, how you want, when you want, but it's designed to shift you over this direction. And you keep praying, and God keeps shifting you. You keep praying, eventually you're going to line up with God, and those prayers, God is going to answer them. Amen? Because whatsoever you ask in my name, Jesus said, will be done. If you ask in my name. But if you ask in Greg's name, or if you ask in your name, God may shift that prayer, the answer. He may reinterpret it to the way his will and answer the prayer according to his will, which isn't your will. So it's going to look like a non-answer when it really is an answer. Amen? Another reason why we may not get our prayers answered is found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, the Bible says this, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about their wives, Go with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, this is specifically talking about the marriage relationship, because of all the relationships, the husband and wife is the core of the earthly relationships. It just is. It's the core of earthly relationships. And so when that relationship isn't right, it can't hinder your prayers. But I think by extension, you can extend this to all godly earthly relationships. Whether it's a church member. If you and another church member are at odds with each other, it's probably going to hinder your prayers. That's a godly relationship that needs to be healed and whole. In fact, the Bible says that if you come to the altar and give a gift to the altar and remember that your brother have aught against you, leave your gift there, go find your brother, make it right with him, and then come back and give your gift to God. Because that earthly relationship, that godly earthly relationship is important for your prayers. That's one reason why it's important that you make sure that you're not bitter at anybody, particularly a fellow Christian. Because an earmark of Christianity is that we love one another. And we don't have that love for one another. And when we're not right with one another, it can hinder our prayers. It really can. So yes, this passage is specifically talking about the ultimate earthly godly relationship in marriage. But it can be extended to all godly relationships on this earth. Another reason why our prayers don't get answered is because you're not seeking forgiveness of your own sins or turning away from your sins. Too oftentimes, in Psalm 66:18 says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes the biggest block to getting our prayers answered is us. Our own sin. We're not right with God. Not only do you need to be right with the people around you, you need to be right with God. It's one reason why I think it's important that when you go to pray and to say, God, and then let God, you don't have to list every single sin that you committed. The odds are you don't even know every single sin that you committed. You just don't. Do you realize that the Jews listed 613 laws in the Old Testament? 613. How many of them do you have memorized? Okay. How about the Ten Commandments? How many of them do you got memorized? Some of you got them, but not everybody. And then there's one that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These two are the greatest commandments. How many of us have done that? Well, it's not so easy, is it? So we frequently need to come to God and ask God for forgiveness and turn away from our sin. If you're in direct rebellion against God, if I tell my son, take out the trash, and he looks at me and says, no, I'm not doing it. I don't care what you say. I'm not doing it. And then he looks at me and says, can I have some ice cream, Dad? I'm like, son, no. What you're going to get is a belt. That's what you're going to get. No, it is not. When you are in direct rebellion against God, you are hindering your prayers. So it's not about knowing every sin you've committed. It is, where is God working in your heart right now? And you know what I'm talking about. You're reading the Bible and God brings something to mind. You're talking to another Christian friend and the Christian friend just says something and it kind of convicts you a little bit. There's a sermon from the pastor. Oh, I hate those. And that sermon from the pastor, man, you're like, oh, he must have a camera at my house. How did he know? This is that. I knew he's sneaky. And sometimes it could be a lot of things. That's not necessarily the pastor. I tried my best. If I find out something, I have tried my best not to preach about it. Because I don't want that person to feel like I'm targeting them. I never want the pulpit to become a whipping post. Amen? So I try not to do that. So if it happens, that's the Holy Spirit because I likely have no clue. And don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. It's just between you and God. Get it right. Amen. Get it right. You can be praying and God brings something to your mind that you need to get right with him. Well, stop right there. Get it right. Get it right. That's one reason why our prayers get struggled because of our sin. And lastly, one of the reasons why our prayers, our struggle to sin is because we're not willing to forgive other people. Mark 11, verse 24 to 26 says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Verse 25, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a pretty scary verse to me. The Bible is pretty clear that if we do not forgive, God is not going to forgive us. Now, we're not talking about heaven here. We're talking about the restoration of our communion and relationship with God, our fellowship with God. We ask forgiveness of our sins so we can be right with God, but if you're not willing to forgive others, God's not going to forgive you to restore that fellowship. And you're going to struggle to get your prayers answered or even heard until you can forgive those who have wronged you. For many, this is the biggest roadblock to why your prayers are not getting answered. Because somebody has wronged you, and you're not willing to forgive them. You need to forgive. Real quick, some tips on prayer that might help you. Number one, you pray by talking. So talk. And I recommend you talk out loud. Find a private place. That's another tip. Find a private place where you can talk, and talk out loud if you can. Because when you talk out loud, it keeps you focused. If you talk silently, the Lord can hear that. There's examples in the Bible. The Lord can hear you when you pray silently. Amen. But what happens when I pray silently, I start getting sleepy. My mind starts wandering. And I start thinking about everything but what I'm trying to pray about. And so I recommend you pray out loud. It'll keep you focused. You can also have a list. A lot of people have a list of things that they pray for, either a daily or weekly or monthly basis. There's nothing wrong with a list. I often like to pray as the Lord leads me, as the Lord put things on my heart, but there's nothing wrong with a list that helps you keep you focused, amen? But with that list, why don't you also keep a list of God's answers to your prayers so you can praise him for those prayers? So write down things that you want to ask God for and then pray about those things. And then when God answers them, write a date next to it and cross it off, amen? One thing you can do in prayer is if you know good, godly Christian songs, sing them as a prayer. Read scripture as a prayer, not just repetitiveness, but as a prayer. You can set a certain amount of time. There's nothing wrong with that. But often pray until your heart is full and you know you've come into the presence of God. And lastly, make a habit of coming to God often throughout the day, even in little ways. Make a habit of coming to God. So it's habitual prayer. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Some of the greatest prayers in the Bible took only seconds to pray. It doesn't have to be long for God to hear. Amen.